Good morning, everyone. Yes, good morning, even if it's afternoon or evening. I'm Rafael Tamayo, manager of the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We are a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture, and you are listening to OC3 Frequencies, our podcast, where we bring on artists, talent, individuals, activists, entertainers, nonprofit representatives, all kinds of everyone to have conversations about arts and culture and the broad range that that encompasses. And today, I am super excited because I'm on the other side of this. I have many a time been to all of the locations that KNON has been, and the one and only legendary DJ Easy Eddie D was kind enough to host me, my friends, my crew, on some really frank conversations regarding hip-hop. He would always promote some of the music that we had and just give us an opportunity to do our thing. So I'm excited because the legend is here at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, and he's going to have a conversation with us. I'm going to let our staff introduce themselves first. So again, I'm Rafael Tamayo, the manager.
Hi, I'm Andrea Tostin, Cultural Programs Coordinator.
And I'm Iris Bechtel, Gallery Programs Coordinator.
And I'm actually going to let Andrea take off because I will preface this conversation with the Oak Cliff Cultural Center is leading efforts in celebrating 50 years of hip hop in the city of Dallas. And so Andrea really approached the team here at the Cultural Center and was like, yo, 50 years of hip hop, we need to do something. And she had all of these ideas. And yo, if you see what we have going on in the month of August, you're going to be like, wow, I can make it to one of these screenings. I can go check out this jam, watch, you know, the Brother Money Waters perform. And we're really bringing a lot of hip hop and highlighting how impactful the city has been. But Andrea said, we need to do something. She made a bunch of phone calls, sent a bunch of emails, connected a bunch of people together. And here we are. And I'll let you kind of take it from there and start the conversation with our guest.
Well, first of all, thank you so much. We're so honored that you're here.
Thank you.
Super excited to be talking with you. And the first question I want to ask you is with KNON's 40-year anniversary coming up on July the 30th, it has me wondering how you got started there with the oldest hip hop show in the entire world at KNON Community Radio.
First of all, thank you all for having me down here today. It is an honor. And I started a move from Cincinnati to Texas in 81, and I met this guy named Troy Glover, aka the Master Mixer. And he taught me how to DJ, but he took me down to KNON, and this was like 1984 when I went to first went to KNON, and I was on this show. It only lasted 2 weeks, but it was called Cisco Soul and the Party Patrol, and Cisco Soul was this female, and she was the like the moderator of the show, and then we had like 5 or 6 different DJs. And it was like the first live mix show in Dallas, bar none. And the show got canceled. But it had been going on for a while before I got there. But it got canceled because this guy stole the mixer. And so they canceled the show.
Dang.
So, yeah, exactly. So fast forward to, I guess it was like 86. I took a mixtape down there to Nippy Jones' show. And Snake, Big Al, and Casanova Rock were getting ready to start the All Hardy Death Party on Wednesdays. And they were Nippy's mixed DJs. And so he needed someone to fill their place. So I started doing that. And that got me in. And I think maybe a year after that, I got my own show. And basically, here we are, 2023. So. That's how I got there. And I can't even believe, because, you know, when you first start off doing something, you have no idea how long it's going to last or, you know, what the whole thing entails for you. But talk about a lot of sacrifice and a lot of fun. You know, I mean, it no matter how bad the week is going, it's the best thing, you know. So it's my cure all. So, but yeah, I mean, that's how I got down there. It's just being at the right place at the right time. So,
well, I love it. Thanks for sharing that. I know also that it's important that you play all of the hits, none of the time.
Yes, indeed. That's it. Yes.
And that.
That's right. Indeed. All the hits, none
that,
of the time.
It's community radio. So can you expound upon that a little bit what that means to you, why that's important?
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird because we used to be partnered with Acorn, and so they were involved a lot in the housing movement here in Dallas and so on. But there was just something in my head about like having a socially oriented show and talking about, you know, current events. And a lot had to do with like Public Enemy was coming out about this time. And hip hop was kind of a party event. And so I just wanted to like, okay, well, I don't necessarily want to do that because it's already been done. And I was, you know, the 80s was the red, black, and green era. And so I just sucked it all up. I just thought it was something that was needed, and KNON allowed me to be able to do that. I always say at KNON, I can say what I want to say, and I can play what I want to play. And with that comes a lot of responsibility. It's nothing that you just want to take lightly. So I was always serious about it. You know, that's when, after the first show was Down by Sound, and then I eventually came upon Knowledge Drop Lessons Taught, which pretty much sums it up. So
I want to really quick interject, because like you say these names, right? And
yeah.
You talk about all these relationships and I'm like, you know, and it's been said before that you are an institution, and you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do anything in terms of hip hop, one, in Dallas for mm-hmm. sure, but you know, in this region, the name Easy Eddie D comes up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember growing up and being a teenager and thinking I had bars and freestyling, right? And, you know, my brothers went to North Dallas High, but I went to Booker T. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brothers were friends with a lot of the East Dallas hip-hop heads, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. Ilso, 30571, mm-hmm. Cats, and all that. And so I remember going to some parties and freestyling when they were around,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, yo, like, you know, they were testing me and they were like, you don't really know anything if you don't know Easy Eddie D, right?
Right, right.
And so then that's when it was like nonstop. It was like listening to you on Saturdays. And, you know, the time has changed mm-hmm. over the years, but it was yeah. like, I remember my brother, like back in the day when you could record from the radio onto cassettes
mm-hmm.
and there were cassette recordings of your show.
Because
it was like, we were listening to people that, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to find this. I need to meet Easy Eddie D, like, so that he can tell me who mm-hmm. he's playing. And I'm like, yeah. you know, I heard of cats like Percy P, mm-hmm. like Hyro, all them. Mm-hmm. I had heard about them through you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that you throw these names around willy-nilly because you know them and, you know, people gravitate towards you naturally. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I'm like, you have a wealth of knowledge that some people can easily overlook in terms of just hip hop, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, like, you talk about the time that hip hop was actually going yeah. down in New York.
Yeah.
There mm-hmm. was a lot happening here.
Oh, yeah.
And these people and these mm-hmm. relationships mm-hmm. are proof of that.
Yeah. We were neck and neck with whether what was going on in LA or what was going on in New York. Dallas was always right there.
Yeah.
Houston, all the whole state of Texas is right there because it was just wildfire. You had Flashdance that came out, which was, you know, important for breakdance. And you know, it's crazy because graffiti has always been around. Even rhyming has been around forever. You know, we didn't invent anything. We just kind of, out of necessity to create, which is a human, I guess, like a human thing. Mm-hmm. You got to create something. So we just need that need to have that need to create. And we just took it around with it. And just that self-expression is the, you know, you can't self-express, you know what I mean? And that's why, I mean, just on a different kind of tip, just driving around Dallas now and seeing all the graffiti everywhere. I love that shit. I mean, because there's some nice pieces that are putting up, like, and that's that bravado, that, you know, that's that true hip-hop culture, in a sense, where you go bomb a place and, yeah, you know, you, under the cloak of night, midnight and all that. So, yeah, I love that. So, but yeah, I mean, we've been neck and neck with anybody and everybody, whether it was through the dance, DJing, emceeing, all that. So,
that's dope.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I want to bring the conversation around to We From Dallas, which, like Rafael mentioned earlier, when I first approached the team about the 50 years of hip hop anniversary, Rafael talked to me about We From Dallas, the documentary, and I definitely saw you in it. I saw somebody, AKA Exile.
Yeah. That guy.
Yeah. I would love to hear you both talk about your experiences in filming that documentary.
You want to go?
I mean, go for it.
It was a great, anytime there's some documentation on something that, you know, as that should be documented, that time has come for it to be, let the record state, the kind of thing. I was really excited about it. It was at a time when Kane and Wynn, we had moved from the old house, and we were on, I think, Maple then.
Yeah.
But, it was just a beautiful thing, and there are a lot of great stories. And, you know, the thing about that, I guess, is, like, sometimes, you know, because everybody thinks that they should be in it and be a part of it. That was the weirdest thing about it, you know. I guess if you would have made it, then you could have been in it. But, you know, you can't have everybody. I mean, to be honest, that thing could have been like a 10-volume, CD set or a DVD set. So just to try to condense it all in that short amount of time was amazing in itself. But it was a great experience. I love the camera. No, I'm just sorry. it was a lot of fun. It was a learning experience. Made me think about even wanting to write a book one day, in a similar fashion. But yeah, it was good to see everybody come together. And the screening was dope. Was that the Anelka or?
I was in Angelica.
Anelka. Angelica, yeah. But yeah, it was super groovy. And there it is for history.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I think what's really dope, because I remember when, you know, Teddy was, you know, he had a camera everywhere. And it was like every local show, every... you know, b-boy battle, every MC battle.
Mm-hmm.
He was out like documenting like different walls, you know, back when Hope Street or, you know, all these different areas that he was filming. But I also remember thinking, man, some people are gonna be mad because they're not in it. And it's true. Like there was, you know, I talked to a lot of people. They were like, man, he didn't really get a lot of, you know, this hip hop from Dallas or that hip hop. And I'm like, yo, like honestly, it could have been a 10, like even within the hip hop genre and even within Dallas itself, like I think they did a good job of covering a broad spectrum, but that thing could have easily, I mean, gone miles and miles in terms of distance.
Yeah, there's so many stories that weren't told and that still need to be told. So who knows what the future, you know, holds, but yeah, there should be way more to come as far as that's concerned. So, yeah.
I, What about what I think is cool, and you know, I kind of mentioned to Andrea, mm-hmm. you know, as we were prepping for this, that you're kind of a documentarian yourself, right? You keep a lot of these things, which I think is really dope because, you know, I'm always like, man, I don't take enough photos. My brother, you know, when he was still around, he kept all kinds of stuff, and he kept flyers and everything. He had stickers, and I was like, man, you're just keeping stuff, but. Like looking back, it's important because you, you know, in terms of documenting, one, it tells you of the journey that, you know, that we collectively took to get to where we are, but also reflecting, like it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, it brings back a lot of memories. Like I've got, what's even in the documentary, the flyer for Pete Rock and CL Smooth at Exodus. Yeah, just all kind of crazy stuff. I remember, and the coolest thing that I ever got was I got when Nippy, when I was still on Nippy's show, and he said, "Yeah, this guy has this band or this group, and he wants you to play their music. He's going to send you a cassette of it." I said, "Okay, cool." And I get this in the mail, this dope graffiti script. Immaculate printed letter, like man, this dude's ill, right? You know? And it said, "This is my new group." On the front, on the front, and on the back, it's mixed by my DJ. This was Eric Wright, Eazy-E, N.W.A.
Yeah,
and they hadn't even been out yet. It was just a cassette of. All that, you know, Dope Man, Fat Girl on My Job, all those songs. And on the back was this 30-minute mix of Dr. Dre's. I don't have that anymore. Yeah. But I wish that, you know, I wish that was, that was a cool, like, little, I don't want to cry even thinking about it.
But that's crazy. Wow. So one, you should please do the humanity a favor and write a book.
Yeah, indeed.
Because even now, you know, thinking about, how I was explaining about us prepping for this, and you know, you mentioned because you're originally from the Natty, and again talking about the connections that you have, they're not just local, but it's these ties, and you know, I always mention like how, you know, you're good with Brother Ali, like he, me and my people are big fans of Brother Ali, but it's like those kinds of like extensions that you have, not saying that you on your own don't really represent what we have here, but it's like, it's not just Dallas.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it's pretty worldwide. You know what I mean? That's what hip hop is. It's hip hop is the only form of music that goes good with everything. Country music, blues, rock and roll. It just, everything. And that comes from the sampling culture. So we grab samples from anywhere and anything and make music out of it. So, but yeah, man, there's connections that I've made with people. I can remember even interviewing Bam Bada on the show. You know, so that was a long, who was it else? Oh gosh, Q-Bert.
Q-Bert.
Yeah, Scratch Pickles, all them cats. Yeah. But yeah, it's been some Immortal Technique, Chino XL, Raw Digga, Beat Nuts, man, it's just a long. I wanted to like do a write all the names of people local and you know that I've interviewed. I couldn't, man, a whole bunch. So I mean, it's, I said, it's a blessing. It's something. I don't mean in the biblical sense. I mean, just it's just a blessing in the way the universe works. That, you know, I was, you know, the one to be able to do that. You know, it's just crazy. I mean, I never even imagined, you know. I'm shy, you know what I mean? I'm all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, as a kid growing up, listening to you, I mean, a lot of us, we have you to thank, right? Because again, like even the names that you named right now, the first time, like even creating like that, that style of flavor that we as individuals have that listen to hip hop in Dallas. And then it's like, oh, I heard someone rhyming on something. And then you come to find out that this person has music. And I'm like, I'm hearing it on the radio. And it's like, you know, I'm on KNON, a local station, and Psycho Less and Juju are rhyming. I'm like, yo, that never happens.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really cool to think of that, like, you were not in like the hipster sense when it's like I was listening to them before it was cool, but it's like with a lot of these hip hop artists, you introduced a lot of the community to them before the artists became these out of reach elevated superstars. And that's also dope, because you talk about these people like Immortal Technique and and all these names, you know, your ties to Erykah Badu. Like, your show is how I found out that she MC'd under Apples. You know what I mean? And it's like stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's no way to measure that.
Nah, man. And I don't even know what to say about it, because it's when it's all said and done, you know, it'll be something that will never be, you know, never be broken, never be duplicated. Like we like to say, we're so underground, we're looking up at the underground. So that's what it's always been about. And, you know, hip hop's infrastructure is all out of whack now, because the labels have gone. And so how do you get your music? The video shows are gone. And so it's just kind of weird. I thought the internet was going to be like, yo, it's going to level the playing field, it's going to blah, blah, blah. And that really didn't transpire. So, you know, KNON is, you know, on the radio still, which is, you know, like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, I don't know, man. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the listening audience, you know, because it's community radio. So, unless people pledge to the show, I wouldn't be there. So, you know, I mean, I can't do it all on my good looks, you know what I mean?
You were mentioning, talking about, you know, it's all on community radio, and I was just traveling between here and Minneapolis, and I was curious, like, who are your counterparts in other parts of the country, like, that you could share with us, like, when we're traveling, like, who do we need to be listening to?
You know, that is a really good question. I mean, you know, I was going to ask, you know, when you find out, let me know.
I will. I'm going to start looking.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, back in the day, I used to really be into that, like, trying to find like-minded. And I know they're out there, but I know there used to be something in New Orleans, because they had this guy, Truth Universal, out there. He's still out there, but peace to him. Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm so busy with hip hop just in general. Like, every month I get like almost 2 gigs of underground music from this guy, Hakeem Sharif, out of Louisville. And, you know, people kind of think, like, the underground, no one's making good hip-hop. I tell you, there's still great music being made. It's just hard to find. I'm sure there are great stations out there. They're just, you know, I wish I knew. So, but, yeah, I'm just all stuck on myself. I don't know. I'm just,
Well, does KNON keep an archive of all the DJs' shows?
No, that's a sad thing, because I've lost a lot of the old recordings that I've had, and now I don't even record the show anymore. Like, I don't even, you know, back when it was cassette, you know, you just pop in the cassette and do it. Now we have this thing called the Spinatron. Well, it's a, I guess it's a, what is it? What would you call Spinatron? It's a place where you can go and check out the last 2 weeks of the show. And so I'll record it from my computer like that sometimes, but other than that, now there really aren't any archives per se. There might be there, but you know, I don't know.
I would assume with community radio that would take a lot of funding. Do you have to have somewhere to put that?
Exactly. Yeah. So and it's, you know, it's a struggle, you know, through because, you know, we used to have underwriting, and COVID really affected a lot. Well, not to even mention the tornado and having to find another building. But, yeah, it's it can be costly. So, yeah. But it would be nice if they did, you know, have those archives. I know this is one station. I can't think of what it is. but I think they're in Minneapolis, maybe. But they keep archives of all their stuff. Like, you can go online and download it, and, you know, they offer it. So I wish it was like that, but, you know, it's not to be.
Well, I guess you'll have to write that book.
I know, right? Exactly. Yeah. There goes another one. Yeah, I've got to do that. So, but yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I got to learn how to write first.
No, it's just like talking.
Yeah.
But well, you have, like, you spin out, you know, at different venues too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. I still stay active spinning. I don't like to do clubs anymore. Yeah. I like to do bars and bar mitzvahs, and I'm just joking. Okay.
Branching out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're adding cultural centers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I mean, have music will travel. So, but yeah, that's the cool thing about DJing. And what I like about when I do DJ at places, I get to play whatever I want. I'm not solely, when I spin, I don't solely play hip hop. I play the things that make hip hop. Mm-hmm. So original records, anything that's funky, I like to say I'll play. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Dallas, you know, is a cool place. Used to be really cool, like Deep Ellum. Oh my God,
it has changed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's. I don't know. I see that turning into, they're gonna shut it down and turn into like a uptown. Mm-hmm. That's really what, mm-hmm, I think is gonna happen with Deep Ellum. But
restaurants and boutiques.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, Bishop Arts is cool. It's restaurants and boutiques also, but yes. It's on a real kind of, it still has this cool vibe to it, yeah. You know what I mean? And when I went to Deep Ellum, I can remember there might have been four other people that looked like me. Mm. And down, it was like, you know, it was weird, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Deep Ellum was so cool. This was like 87 when I went down there for the first time, and yeah. But so anywho.
Well, speaking of Bishop Arts, you're at Dude Sweet Chocolate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And how long have you been there? And
I've been there for 13 years. I manage it. Catherine Clapner, the owner, is one of my best friends, and I went to help at Christmas and never left, like 13 years ago, and now I manage it, and which is something like I never thought I would be doing either, is managing something, you know, much less my life, you know what I mean? So, yeah, but it's that's a cool, you know, it allows me to do all my DJing things. It's allowed me to keep my show, because that's another thing, like, you know, you have to be able to, I've sacrificed, I'll tell you, a lot to do the show. But, you know, it's all worth it in the end. I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. you know what I mean? It's just, when I talk about it, like I do these interviews now, I really get kind of like, not emotional, but, you know, 36 years is a long time, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Like when you were saying, Exile, when you were listening, that's crazy, because like I'll have guys, you know, women, I used to listen to you, I remember in the fifth grade, and they're grown, you know, like in women, like, oh my God. But, yeah. So it's crazy. It's just crazy. So
it's crazy. I mean, it's true though. Like, and I think that's the really cool part about it, is that like if I see you, like, it's love.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's my brother right there. I can't hug him.
Yeah.
You know, but this person also inspired me, also introduced me, also pushed me to like really go at, like, you know, all these things that I have as ambitions as an individual. Like, I felt a sense of community, even though I hadn't met this person yet. Mm-hmm. But by listening to the radio and saying, yo, this is happening in Dallas. This is, I'm letting you, you know, go through this journey and experience these things on all sides of the country, all sides of the world, but also check out what's happening in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a welcoming environment. There's people here that are about what you are about, mm-hmm, that they support you. And you know, with my family, it was like, you know, there's these things that we kind of collectively move forward with. Mm-hmm. And like your show is one of those things. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we as a community are like, yo, Eddie D's are like, that's our godfather of hip hop. And it's true, because it's like, aside from all of the things that you've done, and you know, and everything that you've gone through, one, mm-hmm. we feel like we've seen you go through these sacrifices, and we mm-hmm. appreciate you still being there 36 yeah. years later, holding it down for us. And yeah. you're someone that is humble that we can come and chop it up with and say,
yeah, I mean, that's one thing. All that, you know, rah rah, this, I'm that. You know, it's nah. It's just, the connections I made with people and the friendships, the sad, the happy, man, it's just been great. Yeah, hip hop is, it's a beautiful thing, you know. I was actually watching, studying for the panel discussion. I was doing some studying and listening to some documentaries, and it was a DXT. He was, well, Grandmaster DXT, because he changed from DSD. He was on the Rocket mm-hmm. with Herbie Hancock, and I think that was done in 1982. And he was saying that it's not even a culture anymore, because a culture is something that should be healing. And hip hop has done a lot to, he says, like, it sent more people to the grave. Mm. Than the Iraqi war, you know. And it's true. I mean, it's, we're not using it to the best that we can, because it's supposed to be healing and helping, and it's been turned into this, like, I don't know, murder, kill, kind of desensitized, you know. But that's what the media does with every genre, you know. Once they get a hold of it, they'll ruin it, you know what I mean? So I don't care if it's country, if it's jazz, it's classical, they'll mess it all up. So but yeah, I mean, it should be a cultural tool. It should be a learning experience. And you know, I like the, you know, party and all that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, you know, what have you learned, you know, if anything? And you know, all the talk about cars, you know, it's just a car. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's actually really supposed to get you from here to there. That's its function. It's yeah. not, you know, all that, you know, putting all that money into it and all like that. You see my car.
Skateboard.
So, but yeah, I hope we can get back to the cultural side of it all. But yeah, so, yeah.
Well, I want to bring up the fact yeah. that you have locks.
Yeah.
And part of our 50 years of hip hop celebration is the screening of 3 reggae films. Mm-hmm. Is there any connection with the fact that you have locks to Jamaica or Rastafarianism?
Yeah, actually, the connection on, okay, I gotta say this first, because in Cincinnati we had God, what were they called? Israelites. And this was like 70 something, 74, and I saw a guy with dreadlocks. And I thought they were the most disgusting thing I ever saw. But that's just the stupidity in which, you know, a lot of us operate on at certain times in our life. And when I got older, when I started growing, it was like 92. And it was a connection to Africa. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I wanted to do to separate myself from the norm, or just that, you know, because I had the afro, did that. That was a sign of defiance, and dreads are another thing like that. So, yeah, I wanted to be as gnarly and, like, yeah. So I don't want them manicured and looking, you know. I want to look like I just, did he just crawl out from the back of a bush? yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a connection to Africa, more so than to Jamaica. But yeah, I mean, gotta admit, Bob Marley has always had a big influence on my life. So, you know, but I'm not necessarily a reggae fan. But yeah, well, that's, yeah, I'm a reggae fan. Just, you know, so much music, so little time. So,
yeah, understandable. Mm-hmm. Understandable.
What is your go-to, like, to listen to, like, your, like, one of your favorite things to go back and listen to when you're kind of like trying to relax or trying to enjoy music, really enjoy music?
Anything old, anything mm-hmm. from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, I mean, I'm even a new wave, 80s, you know, I love all that, but anything old. But then again, you know, you got groups like the Monophonics, the Cactus Channel, which are newer groups, but they play in that old, mm-hmm. you know, 70s vibe. And so, I mean, I don't know why we don't have more bands like that, but yeah, like, let's see. Yeah, anything that's funky. I mean, I grew up on AM radio, and, you know, I used to go to sleep with my radio on my ear. I've been crate digging before there was even such a thing. I didn't know that's what it was, but I always wanted to find the obscure, kind of mm-hmm. crazy music. So yeah, I mean, that's, I have so much music, it's not even funny. So yeah. Probably over 8,000 albums.
Wow.
Yeah, so yeah. You wake up, it's 2023. That's all I can tell. That's all I can tell you. So, but yeah, I mean, like, one of my favorite groups are the Jackson 5. Mm-hmm. Like, I love, oh my God, like, you talk about a group that was really influential in music, the way I like music, and oh my God, yeah, Jackson 5 were everything to me. Everything to me, from the dress. It's funny how I can look back at that, the way they're dressed, and still think it's fresh. You know what I mean? Like, oh man, I wouldn't wear it now, but that is dope. Yeah, that is dope. So. Yeah, soul music, rock music. I love classic rock music. Yeah, and I love music from other countries. Mm-hmm. I think one of the coolest things that we all have is our own culture, no matter where you are. And, you know, people might see something and laugh at it, but it's like, you know, that just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's funny. It's just different. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I'm more into that now. So, yeah. I saw an interview where Bob Marley was talking about how reggae was just, ska was them trying to copy the 50s. Roots reggae was them trying to copy Curtis Mayfield and them. So whatever America was doing musically at that time, you can find groups all over the world mm-hmm. trying to emulate that. So there's a lot of a lot of great music out there. So,
mm-hmm. well... you talked about the panel discussion and researching mm-hmm. for it. Do you already have an idea of who you want to talk to without giving away the surprise?
Yeah. I've got the two of the panel people picked already. I'll tell you what, even Exile mentioned one of them.
Oh, okay.
I was kind of like, how can you?
So rewind the podcast.
Yeah, right. I'm going to bleep it out.
Listeners know. Yeah, he actually mentioned one of them. So, but I've got two great guests, and I'm still formulating it because I've never done a panel discussion before, so I want it to be right. I might even, what is that? Pilot point or whatever it is, or what do they call it?
PowerPoint. Yep, we got a screen projector for you.
Yeah, I might even do that. So. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be great. I'm looking at it, we're gonna be talking with someone who was there in 73, and then we're gonna come up to Dallas, because Dallas really starts for me in the 80s, you know what I mean? 81, 80, I mean, all that, because what there was no hip hop, there was just soul music and funk and stuff like that. So hip hop was actually disco was the kind of the thing behind hip hop. A lot of you know, hip hop. I've just found this out. Hip hop was a derogatory term. Mm. You know, don't bring all that hippity hop. Mm. You know, yeah. That's how it started. So then Love Bug Skarsky turned it into a badge of honor, and so. And also, I didn't know this, that the term hip hop wasn't used. It might have been used in inner circles, but it wasn't until the 90s when it became, that's what it was, hip hop. Mm. So, yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, Dallas has its own history, a rich history. And it's funny because a lot of times it's cats that come from other places and bring that flavor into, injected into, like for me in Cincinnati, I didn't know anything about, like, well, I mean, I knew 79 was when I graduated, so that's when Rapper's Delight came out, and so I was caught then, you know. I was, oh my god, what is this? And I was going to Central State, this university in Ohio, or Dayton, Ohio, and we had some kind of break, and holiday break, and my friends from New York, they were twins. They brought back King Tim III by Fatback Band and The Adventures of Super Rhyme. So that and Rapper's Delight were the first three hip-hop records, which we consider hip-hop, but they've been doing hip-hop since the 30s. You know what I mean? As far as that's concerned, you can look at old clips and, you know, I can't think of this guy's name, but he was moonwalking back then. And, and so we haven't done anything, you know. Jazz was, I'm not jazz, but the blues was the original hip hop in a sense, because, you know, it was, it was music of troubled times. And that's, you know, we have troubled times now. And all the best music is always made out of despair and, you know, that need to create. So, yeah,
I'm really excited because I feel like if you're excited about formulating a panel discussion, I feel like everyone needs to be excited.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
But one, I can't believe we're at 50 years of hip hop. Mm-hmm. Two, again, going back to the Dallas having this rich history. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had mentioned having these kind of notions of, oh, the internet, or, you know, all these things, and change, and reflecting on it recently doesn't really make it seem like the change was for the better. Because while it might make things accessible and easier to connect to, I think that also has meant that there's so much of it, so mm-hmm. it's a lot harder to go through. What are your thoughts on how that might evolve?
Well, first we have to reboot our attention span, because we, you know, the album's a thing of the past. You know, people, you know, I sit and listen through, you know, people won't do that anymore. You know, they just X to the next, and that's a hard, hard thing to do. Bandcamp and these places aren't really paying the artists for their, you know, how do you make money in hip hop? Now that's the real question. If you're going to look at it as a career, how do you take care of your family doing this? So it's not for everybody. It's not for the faint. It's not for the timid. It's not for the weak. It is a really, you have to be on your grind. There's a, have you heard of John Henryism? It's a medical condition, that's actual medical condition, where this guy was interviewing these farmers, and he noticed that this common thread, like after they retired, it's time for them to reap the fruits of their labor, they get sick and they die. And the story of John Henry was, he was to beat the steam engine. Mm-hmm. Hammering the nail into the mountain, and he beat the steam engine, but he died of a heart attack at the very end. And so you know, through hypertension and all these things that people of color are prone to have. That's, you know, we work so hard, at the end of the day, we don't get to reap the benefits. I don't know how many kids, like, the past couple of years in our community that have passed away, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just crazy. So, I mean, I'm 62. I never thought I'd even be, you know, at this age. So, you know, we have to do more. It has to be get really communal again. Yeah, back. I mean, our attention span is so. Yeah, it's just hard to pay attention to anything. You have such a, you know. Look, you have the everybody's on their phone, looking at their phone, mm-hmm. and yet you have the whole world in front of you, mm-hmm. but you're stuck right here, and watching other people's lives instead of living your own, which I find kind of weird, but you know. You spend more time on self, and you know other people are inspirational. You know, they can be inspirational, but like, you know, watching people trip and fall or people being knocked out. Some of the dumbest things on the internet, like that. What is it? 15 minutes of fame or 5 minutes of fame? Like, yeah. Man, it's just, they're just burning up the track with that now, boy. So, but yeah, I mean, we can only hope for the best and. You know, people like you all, you know, this here is extremely important. Because, you know, the key word in it is culture. You know what I mean? And if you don't care about your own narrative and let other people describe your narrative and say what it is when it isn't, then you'll end up with the problem like we have in hip-hop. Mm. Because we weren't able to define really what it is and what it's supposed to be. And now it's in the hands of these people who, you know, it's just a tool to make money. And by the worst way, by, you know, people are your best assets. You don't throw people away. But that's kind of what America does. It just throws people away. They're expendable, mm-hmm. X to the next. And that's the way we live our lives now. It's like, you know, here today, here tomorrow, because I got 36 years, so I'm here today, here tomorrow. No, anyway, but yeah, so. But yeah.
What's next? What are you looking forward to besides being here with us for the panel?
One of the things I want to get in the Hip Hop Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I want to get in the Guinness Book for the longest running hip-hop show. So, and I put that out in the universe because those are the first steps that you have to do. So, but that's really what that's next. But if you're talking about like after this, I'm gonna go get a sandwich
and you're gonna ride your skateboard.
Yeah,
down
exactly
there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so, but nah, I've been producing a lot more lately, and you know, still making music, still doing mixes. My whole life is hip hop. Like, mm-hmm. I wake up in the morning. It's everything about me. You know, I brush my teeth with hip hop. You know, it's everything. So, I have hip hop snacks. No, I'm just joking. But, know. I mean, what was that? Master P had. Those potato chips.
Oh, yeah, the wrap snacks.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's a wrap. Boy, oh, boy. Yeah, wow. But, you have to respect his business sense. You know, a lot of some of these cats have really done some amazing things, and they've put money back into the community. And, you know, just imagine if all our money makers will concentrate and put money back into, oh my goodness, yeah, it'd be incredible. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that ain't gonna happen anytime soon, but you know, you never know. You never know.
Never know. Mm-hmm.
Never know. Yeah, so you know, I didn't know that you were like, this was your thing.
Yes, this is. This is
been, yeah.
I've been here as long as you've been Dude Sweet Chocolate. Okay, good. Yeah, this will be my. This will be my 12th year actually. Yeah. So.
How'd you get started?
Man, I was I had family out here in Oak Cliff. I went to school out here. But right before this, I was with Bank of America and I hated it. And when I was at the bank, that's when I was out, like, you know, doing shows like doing all kinds of stuff.
Leading a double life.
You know, I was trying to get out of the bank and, you know, there was some stuff going on in the bank and like acquisitions and transitions and all this stuff. And just really seeing how corporate America treated specifically the communities that I connected with. Yeah. I was like, man, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. And this opportunity came up and I was like, let me see if I can get down with this. And, you know, I was like, yo, they asked me for an interview. And then in the interview, they were like, well, it was really great meeting you and blah. And I was like, dang, okay. And then I got a phone call with an offer and I was like, done. And so before then I was like, yo, it's a City of Dallas gig. I'm going to be a public employee. So, I gotta be on my stuff. And then, you know, there wasn't, because it was such a small, it is such a small department and, you know, this cultural center is fairly small. A lot of it was just, actually, you're here to figure out how everything's going to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's been cool. It's been a trip because a lot of figuring out how things work, especially with arts and culture, which is, you know, an ever evolving kind of thing.
Yeah.
Has been fun, but challenging at times.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get you down to show. We have to talk about this.
Yeah, man, for sure. Yeah.
Seriously, because I had no clue.
None. You're added to the list, man. So many people, like, they'll see me out and they're like, yo, or someone that I know through work is like, they're asking for Exile.
Right?
I'm like, no, I'll go talk to them.
And what were they calling you earlier?
Raphael.
Yeah.
Chill, Eddie.
I'm sitting like, who's that? Who's Raphael?
I'm looking at another tree.
The streets don't know my government name, Eddie. Chill.
I'm not. Mm-mm. So, no, man.
To be continued. You notice he turned that around on you, and he was interviewing you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. No, I mean, he's a pro. I'm here. I'm here with a professional here.
Yeah, but anyway. Wow. Yeah, man.
Well, gosh, amazing to hear these stories of Dallas history and be able to hear you two that go back a ways. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of these experiences. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you want to share?
Well, you know, I say this about KNON and what people don't understand, because you have the internet and the DJ is forgotten now, because people, like, you know, go to my Bandcamp page. And I used to have these, you know, relationships with MCs, because they would send you their music and you would get hard copies of certain things and you would build a rapport with it. You know, now people will go to my band. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
If you're not going to send me your music, and I'm not going anywhere. And if I'm introduced to someone, they tell me they're a rapper, for some reason I'll automatically say, you suck then. But they say I'm an MC, then I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's,
yeah,
okay, you got something there. Yeah, but terminology is everything, language is everything. So rapper is not cool. I'm a rapper.
I mean, KRS said it, right? Yeah. Rap is something you do.
Yeah,
rap is something
you live. Yeah.
And it's interesting, you know, the way hip hop started, especially with the DJ being the moving force behind it. Growing up and, like, earning my stripes, it was always, even with the people that I surrounded myself with, it was like, you were not an MC unless you understand the respect that you need to pay to the DJ.
Yep.
And it was like, yeah, and you know, when you had music, it was important for you to have relationships with DJs, because DJs were the ones that were going to be like, nah, like, you know, just step it up a bit, or maybe, you know, go back and do some homework.
Yep. I mean, it was, I'll tell you what, but the checks and balances was a cipher. Why we have so many whack people now, because there ain't no ciphers no more.
They're scared of ciphers.
Ciphers would make you, you know, you'd find out just how good you were if you get into a cypher. And so now the cypher is not, you know, non-existent now. And so, but yeah, I want to get a t-shirt, bring the cypher back. Cause yeah. it's serious. Like that was our checks and balances. It got all the whack out. And now the whacker, oh my God. Yeah. So some of these styles, like, they're birthing now. Like,
Do you remember Tahiti? The birth of whack? Tahiti.
That's my man. Yeah. I saw him a couple of, months ago at a funeral. But, yeah, that's my man. He's a dope producer still, MC, all that. But, yeah, man. Yeah, Dallas has a rich history. It really does. We're not as big as Houston, you know. But, you know, as far as, you know, being known and, you know, we never had a, what was the label? Rap-A-Lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we just never had that label that, you know, yeah. That's what I really think that was missing, that on the vinyl side, like a label that had 5 or 6 groups on it that was really, you know, but, you know. I see Info still doing this thing.
InfoRed, yeah. Pray and Spray. Mm-hmm. Out now. Mm-hmm. Little plug here.
Yeah, I see that. Got you again. Indeed.
Do y'all have any questions? I feel like we could be here for hours.
I know. I feel like I want to also ask about, because I'm a visual artist and I'm programming for the gallery and have been doing that kind of job for a while. But when you mentioned, you know, some of the things that you had, like posters and stickers. And I was thinking, oh, this could be a great exhibition, hip hop, memorabilia. I'm thinking, where can I find that? Mm-hmm. And I know that Andrea just went to Detroit and went to the Motown Museum. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we need something like that here.
Yeah. It's funny, people, little known, I collect racist memorabilia. Mm. And with the sole intent to have an exhibit one day. But I wanted to do a hip hop kind of, both of them tied together some kind of way. Play nothing but Marvin Gaye and Public Enemy, music like that during the whole set, and show some of these things that I have collected. I used to buy it, but I won't buy it anymore. People want to donate it to me or whatever, because it's not worth, people, you know, I'm not going to make money off of this crap, you know, but I would love to do something like that. Have a museum of some of the artifacts and stuff like that, or, you know, a one room museum. You know what I'm
saying? Well, is there anything special coming up for the 40th year anniversary of KNON?
We have our anniversary show coming up at the end of this month, and it's going to be at the Granada. That's going to be the big highlight thing, and gosh, it's just crazy. I think there's only one other person at KNON who's been up there longer, and that's Dono. I think he's been there since the station, the event of the station. But I'm actually going to do a kind of a big 3-week kind of show talking about it, the 50 years of hip hop through music stuff like that. So I've got a lot of research to do.
Boom.
Bada bing.
On that note, Eddie, we could be here for hours and hours.
Indeed.
Dallas, Texas, and the rest of the world, we're really glad that you were able to tune in and listen to us while we talked with the legendary one and only DJ Easy Eddie D. Running hip hop show in the world.
In the world, yeah.
And again, just local legend. It was an honor to have you here. And it's cool because, you know, I can call you my friend.
Indeed. Oh, you know it.
So, yeah. And y'all heard the man. Knowledge dropped, lessons taught, KNON, every Saturday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. But we have to remind you The Oak Cliff Cultural Center celebrates 50 years of hip hop. And we start on August 3rd at the South Dallas Cultural Center. We're going to be screening Babylon on Thursday. We're going to screen Rockers on Friday. And actually, it starts before that. It starts August the 2nd. Just added. So this is breaking news. This will probably come out after the announcement that we make. But we're
breaking,
screening.
Breaking.
We from Dallas, a salute to Dallas hip hop. We'll be screening that documentary at the Latino Cultural Center. August 2nd at 7 p.m. I believe it's 7 p.m.
7:30.
I believe so. You'll see some marketing and some announcements come from us, and we're organizing a discussion to happen afterwards. But yeah, so it kicks off August 2nd, August 3rd, South Dallas Cultural Center, screening Babylon. Friday, August 4th, we're screening Rockers. And then we jump over to the Dallas Public Library, Central Library. Saturday, August 5th at 1 p.m., screening The Harder They Come. And then the following week, August 8th, Tuesday, we're screening Wild Style at the Bathhouse Cultural Center. Wednesday, August 9th, we're doing Beat Street 35mm right here at the Texas Theater. And then on Thursday, we're doing Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo. That's August 10th at 7:30 p.m. at the Texas Theater. All in preparation for the grand weekend at the Oak Cliff Cultural Center, where we kick things off with my brother here, DJ Easy Eddie D, hosting a panel discussion 5 p.m., followed by a Battlegrounds Open Style and Breaking Battle hosted by DJ Leo J. That's at 8 p.m. And then Money Waters performing live August 12th. That's a Saturday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saturday, August 12th. Man, it's been a hot minute since I've talked to my brother Money Waters, so it's going to be nice. So, yes, and you might get some updated information, announcements. Make sure you're following the Oak Cliff Cultural Center on all social media. Make sure you listen to Knowledge Drop, Lessons Taught. Say what up to my man DJ Easy Eddie D. If you see him skating around Bishop Arts, go say what's up to him at Dude Sweet Chocolate. This has been OC3 Frequencies, a podcast presented by the Oak Cliff Cultural Center. We are a division of the City of Dallas Office of Arts and Culture. Do we have any other notes before we head out? I think we're good.
We're good.
Yeah. Dallas Hip Hop making it. All right, we appreciate y'all. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you give us 5 stars. We're on Spotify and SoundCloud. Say what's up. Feel free to send us an email or, you know, send us a question or a remark or a review. We love hearing feedback. Let us know what we can do for the next one. We'll catch you next time. OC3 Frequencies out. We'll see you. Peace, y'all.
Peace.